Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. The current home of Yankton's Cultural Education Center opened in 1909 as the Women's Receiving Hospital at what was known at the time as the Dakota Hospital for the Insane. The building now bears the name of the hospital superintendent who had it built, Dr. Leonard C. Meade. For today's Images of the Past, we explore the intersection between mental health and architecture. With us for the conversation is Laura Beal. Laura, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hello.
Should we start with Dr. Meade himself and learn a little bit about who he was?
Sure. Dr. Meade was the superintendent of the hospital. He served for a very long time, in fact, until his death in 1920. But he started out his life going to be an architect before he changed to medicine. So he did have a large architectural influence on the hospital as well as his medical influence there.
And what was it about him that was so progressive at the time? What was so shocking about how he sort of saw architecture and its potential?
Dr. Meade really believed that architecture and beauty could help to heal the mind. This was a psychiatric hospital, and they took great effort to make sure that it was beautiful surroundings and that the architecture had a purpose and that the patients had a purpose. Every patient on the campus had a job. It was almost completely self-sustaining, growing its own food. They had their own laundry, anything of that nature. And patients did a lot of that work to give them an occupation, something to occupy their time and their mind, to help them to heal and to hopefully reintegrate into society.
And what was sort of the impetus of redesigning the building or rebuilding? Did he just start from scratch, or was there a particular reason for architectural improvements at the time?
The major reason for the architectural improvements were an unfortunate series of tragedies. Dr. Meade and the hospital board had been requesting additional funding from the state legislature for quite a time. To improve the facilities, they knew they were substandard. There were patients being housed in buildings that were never designed for patient housing, up to and including the laundry cottage. And unfortunately, a fire broke out in the laundry cottage, and 17 female patients died in that fire. After that point, there was a huge renaissance in the campus. A lot of new buildings went up in the next few years, including the Meade and other major residential buildings on the campus.
Did he take that personally?
I don't know if he took it personally so much because he had been requesting the funding for quite a while, but he definitely wanted to make sure it wouldn't happen again. It's also due to that fire that you see language start to come into state statutes that state buildings needed to be fireproof, which is why the Meade is almost entirely constructed of concrete and stone. Even today, when we've been putting in modern systems to convert it to our museum, we have found that we have little need for, say, a sprinkler system because there's nothing to burn. So it's still a fireproof building. It's really a fantastic structure.
Did he have opposition? Did he have support? What was sort of the response for some of the more elaborate features?
There was a little bit of confusion among some people. Why are you building these big, grand structures? But they really came to be a symbol of Yankton and of the hospital and really were embraced by the community, especially features like the staircase in Meade, which has sort of always been a legendary architectural feature in the Yankton area.
Tell me about the staircase and some of those other features. I have not been there, so.
So the staircase is this, when you walk in the main entrance of the Meade, there's a large, grand foyer. It's more than two stories tall. There's painting on the ceiling. It's very Art Deco style painting. And a large marble staircase, white marble, comes up from the center and splits off to go to both sides of the building. It's a huge, grand staircase like you might see in European mansions of the time period. It's certainly nothing that was in any private residence in Yankton or most of Dakota, really. So it's quite an impressive structure. Even today, it takes your breath away the first time you walk in there.
Do we know who the architect was?
One of the major architects was Dr. Mead.
Okay.
He started out going to be an architect, so he did a lot of the design. There were some other architects on board as well, but he designed the building and five others on the campus as well.
How about his inspiration? Was he looking to European design? What do we know about his architectural roots and the inspiration for what he chose?
We don't know a lot about specific inspiration that he's written down, but there are a lot of features that you see in European buildings. It's actually kind of a mishmash of different features. It's kind of a neoclassical design. You have a lot of column work on the exterior and stonework, large arch ceilings in certain areas. So you see a lot of features that were all around Europe. And he also studied some in the state of New York. So we see some architectural influence from hospitals there as well.
So beauty and architecture as a way to help heal the mind. Did that idea sort of catch on? Was it effective in this case?
There were stories of it being effective. You see other hospitals, there were kind of a couple schools of thought that went to the same end point coming about together. There is one legend of a woman in the hospital who was essentially mute. She wasn't speaking to anyone, which was part of why she was committed to the hospital, and was in Mead for quite a while in the building. And her husband came to visit her some 6 months on, and the very first words she said were, "Did you see that staircase?" there is anecdotal evidence that something about it was clicking for some of these women.
And what's the legacy of it? Do you have any notion of that in the healthcare? And then we'll talk about what the building is now. But just to finish that thought out, the legacy in the mental health world today?
Some of the legacy has been not necessarily lost, but rendered unnecessary due to advances in medicine. A lot of the patients in that facility would not be committed to hospitals today for long-term care. But you do see there's sort of, you know, you do try to find activities and something to occupy their time. You know, we really try not to just sort of lock people away as kind of the legend of the old mental institutions. And a lot of that started around the turn of the century and with physicians like Dr. Mead.
So tell me about how the build. What is it now? What does it house today?
The building is currently actually still empty. We are renovating it to be the museum. We have Dakota Territorial Museum here in Yankton. We're currently housed in a too small structure built in the 1970s. So we are getting ready to move into the Mead to open in 2018.
Let's talk about how you got where you are today. What's sort of the history of when it closed and how it is becoming a museum? What's the process for the community there?
Sure. The hospital stopped using the Mead building in the 1980s, and it essentially sat vacant from that time on. In the mid-2000s, there was a renewed interest in Yankton in saving the building. It was slated for demolition at one point. And at the exact same time, the museum was looking to perhaps build a new structure. Our current building is actually about 6 years over its lifespan of expected occupancy. So it's not the best condition. And so it just sort of all came together that we were looking for somewhere to go and they were looking for someone to take over the building or it would be demolished. So we were able to start the renovation at that point and really have just gone full steam ahead to get it ready.
What needs to be done? You say demolish, and I kind of caught my breath there after the building you've described. That would be a great loss. But what needs to be done to sort of save it and get it ready for its next life?
Most of the big projects were done right away. The first major milestone was getting the roof repaired on the building. Once that was done, the interior work was really able to start. We've been restoring plaster using original methods and inventing methods to do the restoration there because it's all plaster and cement work. We have been working to install modern security and electricity, and our current project is heat. It was a radiator system in the building, and that has all been removed over the years. So we are currently installing modern heating systems and cooling systems, which will also keep the building in the range that we need for it to be a museum to store artifacts properly. And really our big hurdle that we have yet to get into the building is we really need an elevator. There is no elevator access. And it is this huge three-story building with a full basement. So that's really our next big projects in the next few months.
Huge financial commitment. Where has that support been coming from?
It is a huge financial commitment. The whole renovation is costing about $4.5, $4.7 million. A lot of it has been private donations. We have received some grant monies, but the majority really has been from private contributions, from, you know, $100 all the way up to tens of thousands at a time, depending on the donor.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Laura Beal from the Dakota Territorial Museum. We're talking about Yankton's Mead Building for Images of the Past. Laura, we just have about a minute left. I'm wondering if you could tell me about the museum and what sort of artifacts. Paint a picture of the future once you're in this building and occupying it. What do we get to see?
Well, Yankton, of course, was one of the first settlements in Dakota Territory, which would eventually become North and South Dakota. We have a lot of artifacts from the early days of Dakota Territory. We will focus on the Lewis and Clark expedition as they came out here and the travels that, from what they learned. And we'll focus a lot on the European immigration into Dakota Territory, especially during the Great Dakota Boom of 1870 to 1890. And lots of hands-on children's exhibits for their understanding of what it really meant to move out to Dakota Territory when there was nothing here to start with. So those will be our main focuses when we first open.
Laura Beal, thank you so much for being with us today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.